News emerged about the condition of Iranian dissident Akbar Ghanji, who's been on a hunger strike in Iran for more than 65 days. Ghanji, who began the hunger strike in June, has agreed to take medicine and eat foods recommended by doctors. We phoned Iranian journalist and blogger Farid Pouya in Brussels to get some background on Akbar Ghanji and to discuss blogging and the internet in Iran.
Jailed journalist for now about 6 years, and at the early years of Iranian Revolution, he was a revolutionary guard who worked for Iranian state and was very involved with Iranian regime. Then he started to change his mind, became a reformist journalist, and he started to write books and articles in which he accused Iranian leaders to be linked with assassinations of Iranian writers and intellectuals. That's why they sent him to jail. And he wrote a book in jail, and in this book he explained that Iranian regime or state cannot be reformed and it must be changed completely. And through pacifist ways, he's a pacifist, like Gandhi or so on. Then his situation became worse. He was released for 1 week for medical care during election time. He boycotted election. He was sent back to prison and started his second hunger strike. And he continued that for 65 years, this time 65 days. And now, today, there are news from Reporters Without Borders that he started to take medicine. I mean, probably he broke his hunger strike. But there are two or three things interesting about his story. There are some Iranians, including the bloggers, who consider Ghanji was played by American government and the conservatives to put pressure on Iran about his human rights record. Even some people think that he was played by the Iranian government to send him free during election time to boycott election. Because by boycotting election, you know, there are reformists who didn't go voting, and it gave way to conservatives. And there's some kind of contradictions and different ideas about his situation. But for many, they consider him as a hero for civil society, for human rights, and freedom in Iran.
So he's gone from being a proponent of the regime when he was with the Revolutionary Guard to being a symbol of opposition.
Exactly, exactly. He now symbolized this kind of changes and oppositions, because there are many others who were with regime, very active at the early years. Even they take hostages in U.S. embassy, and now they are in opposition.
Now, in terms of his, how is he viewed by other, I mean, are there other members of the opposition who see, who suspect his motives, or because of his prior association with the regime?
They were, you know, when, I mean, in these last days when he was in hunger strike for 65 days, and there were his pictures online that if he was very skinny and maybe he's going to die and so on, everybody was taking care about him, and they were kind. But there are the groups outside of the country in opposition, like left-wing groups, who considered him as a member of... they didn't forgive him. They said he's still... He has a very bad past, and his story cannot be changed like that.
Now... And the bloggers have been covering his situation both in Farsi blogs and in English blogs. What's the general take in terms of folks who are out online blogging?
Okay. First thing, I think 99% of people believe that they must do their best to save his life. I mean, they ask the European or Americans or Iranian government to find a solution for him, to save his life, because he was a very critical situation. Most of people consider him a hero. I mean, somebody who resists against regime through pacifist way, not going to take weapon and start to arm struggle or shoot people down. That is very pacifist guy. But there is a minority of web bloggers in Persian and in English that they think he was played by American government. Or even some say, as I said, during the election, they think he was played by conservatives. Because they say, why they released him just during election period? Just 1 week he came out, he boycotted election, had influenced reformists, have to go to vote, and they sent him back to jail. This is how they argue the situation. I think this is minority on both cases. Look at him in a negative way.
Okay. And the and in general, just to get an idea of the use of blogs in Iran, there are blogs both in Farsi and English. How extensive is that?
Okay, as I said, according to statistics, in 2001 the population was internet users was just 1 million in Iran. In 2005 there's 6 million, and it said in 2009 there will be 20 million people online, which is very great. Mm-hmm. It's very great growth. We must be very careful when we look at the blogs and we say, okay, Iranian, or even Iranian internet, we say, okay, Iranian, think like that. I think it's much concentrated blogging on urban area among people who are educated, and even I think that they know the high tech a little bit and English language. It cannot reflect Iranian population. It's not a good sample. Measure Iranian population idea. Because there are a lot of traditional people, there are a lot of rural people, even in big cities there are many people who don't use that. It's not a good sample to check that. Say, okay, there are bloggers who think like that, there are internet sites who think like that, and there are Iranian population. I think during last election, presidential election, many Western people get really confused and very surprised because of results when Ahmadinejad became president. Because I think they just look at the Iranian side, internet sites, or blogs, and they made the conclusions about how the Iranians are going to react. In my opinion, it's not at all a reliable source what Iranian population thinks, because it's just only, 6 million and out of 70 million, and it's most concentrated, I think, in big cities.
And then in terms of, when you talk about gauging political sentiment in the country via the internet, there is a split between sort of secular and the regime, the ulama politics. Is the religious side of the represented online?
Okay, it's a very great question. It's a very good question. One thing about blogging. Former vice president of Khatami, who was a religious person, a mullah, he was the first one who went online and who started his weblog in Persian and a little bit in English. It was about what's going on in government, plus his trips around the country or in other cities, or just diary and his reflection on events or history and so on. It was the first one a few years ago. He started that. Even he got a lot of visitors, so on. It's a kind of, during election, some of the candidates started their own weblogs. I think they are just reformists who do that, and Dr. Moeen, who make a bridge between students or young people and himself, get comments and so on. But if we look at about online, I mean, when we talk about high tech and internet, one thing it's our mind is technology, high tech. On the other side, we say Iranian regime, they are very traditional and so on. We think they are contradictory. It is not at all. A few days ago, there was a very top article in BBC about Iranian religious city, which called Qom. Mm-hmm. Qom is the center to educate mullahs, religious people, and so on. And it's the most digitalized city now in country. And in the last 16 years, it put the millions of dollars and euros in this city, and they mobilized that by high-tech and computers, and this in the last 7-8 years by internet. And they're really digitalized, and you see the pictures, lots of mullahs, the traditional clothes, just behind after the desk, surfing on internet, or they are in front of computer and so on. They use high-tech and modern technology in even this religious city. I think it has become the center, high-tech center of country.
Now, also, the government's interested in, shall we say, controlling the internet.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your perceptions of how the government's going about that?
Okay. Yeah, in Iran, they try to control media anyway. I mean, if there is a TV program, they can parasite, or they can like satellite dishes and so on, or about the radio programs, it's the same. But internet, it's the same, but I think it did work. They tried to filter that, and it's a very interesting case that because they do that with American softwares, and even there was a report that there's a company in U.S. that collaborates with the Iranian government, and Iranian government has outsourced filtering to this company. After a few weeks, they denied that, and they said even Iranian government used in an illegal way their softwares. But there was the report, and from reliable sources, that there was a U.S. company which is doing this job for Iranian government. But filtering in Iran, I mean, this is a cat-and-mouse game. They started to filter the blogs or the sites, but the Iranians find a way to escape that. And recently, they started to filter blog rolling. It's a Canadian blog service that many Iranians use it, and it's very, very popular in Iran. And just a few days later, I saw in an Iranian blog in Germany, I think, that there was the instruction how to escape this kind of filtering for blood rolling. The Iranian side is the same thing. I have friends who site got filtered and stopped in Iran. They changed the address, and each time they find a way to go to Iranian computers. I think and I believe internet is the best way to communicate with Iranian population and to give news to them. According to reports and statistics, Iranian trust internet news much more than TV, radio, or printing journals.
Great. Well, I want to express my appreciation for you taking some time with us today.
Yeah, you are great. Just one thing I want to add, or maybe you have just said it or not. There's a very great thing in the U.S. There's about 1 year started this Global Voices Online. Mm. It brings together all different developers from 30, 35 countries.
Yes, it's a good service.
Yeah.
It's
a very good service.
Great. Well, thanks so much. And I hope call you again as time goes by.
Okay, great.
Great. Thank you. Right.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye, Andrew.
Farid Pouya, speaking to us from his home in Brussels, Belgium. Fareed told me he would be happy to answer any questions sent to his email address by listeners of this program. His email address is fareedpouya@gmail.com. That's fareedpouya, F-A-R-I-D-P-O-U-Y-A, @gmail.com. You are listening to Locally Grown.